You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside my co-host, Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. And I knew it. I would have bet $1,000 that Jay Gonzalez would be coming in with his Dodgers hat.
You know, I would have come in with my Dodgers shirts, too, but they're both dirty.
So how? Timing.
I just, you know what? I wear them. They didn't get washed. I've just kind of been wearing them all week. I've also got some Dodger pajama pants. So I could have come in all Garanimals and just worn the whole deal, but I didn't. I even have some socks.
The good thing is our audience would know what Garanimals. There's no one under 30 listening to us. But let me tell you something. If this is an omen, so we've been waiting like 4 months, right? Or whatever months for baseball. And if this is an omen, a rain delay in the first game to be played.
You know, God, what are you going to do, right? But, you know, it's been great to see baseball. And baseball that means something. You know, I pretty early on got a text from my brother who was watching the game. And he and I are probably the biggest baseball fans in the family, my brother Ed. And he said, I don't like this with no fans. And he said, if it's all we got, it's all we got.
Right,
I said, you know, we should just probably get used to it. And he said, yeah, you know, I guess so. And that's it. I mean, this is it. This is what we've got.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Let's go with it, man. Let's go with it.
I was watching some of it. You know, I don't like the situation either. I'm behind it with that. But I'm thinking, wait till the playoffs come. And then the World Series, when it's not going to be the same.
But, you know, I think by that time we'll have gotten so used to it and it's kind of like that's what baseball is. And then, you'll just go. And now what matters is what's happening on the field. You know, the whole deal of, you know, putting in, you know, crowd noise and all that kind of stuff. I don't really care. Yeah. To me, it's like, OK, let's watch the baseball. Actually, it'd be kind of funny to hear some of the, you know, chatter that goes on if you can.
Do you watch, normally, how would you watch baseball? Just because it's a game? It is, I played baseball, I love baseball. It is a boring game for people who don't watch baseball.
Right.
So how do you watch baseball?
You know, mostly, I rarely sit down, outside of the World Series or the playoffs,
right?
I rarely sit down and watch a game. Mm-hmm. I'll put it on. It'll be in the background.
Right.
I'll look in on it. I was doing that today. I've got in my home office, I've got a TV right next to my desk specifically for this reason. I had the game on, you know, and even at the start, I mean, the game was on and I'm working and I hear the crack of the bat and I look up and I see Giancarlo Stanton hit a mm-hmm. home run. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I watch it. And, you know, I was realizing on the way over here, I really didn't see much more of the game. In fact, when I got in the car, I thought it was a 2-1 game and it was a 3-1 game. So, you know, I'm a background kind of guy. But when playoffs roll around or if it's a big game or, you know, if my pitcher's pitching, my fantasy pitcher's pitching, I might sit down and watch the game. But I rarely sit down in front of the TV to watch a game.
I agree with you. I think most people, kind of like the NBA, very few people watch the regular season.
Right.
Unless you're a crazy Darhead guy. But the playoffs, yes.
Yeah. But like, I'll do that for a football game. I'll sit down and watch a game.
Yeah. It's different. You know? It's different.
And you know, let's say on a Saturday and there's a U of A is on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm channel surfing. You know, you get enough channels, you're watching whatever game is on. But when the U of A game comes on, I watch the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you have the NFL package where
I do.
It's the Red Zone.
I have I get the Red Zone and I've got the Sunday ticket. You know, in that regard, I'm kind of glad my son moved out of the house. He loves the Red Zone. I love watching a game.
Yeah. See, and I do both.
Yeah. I love going to a game and watching it for a while, mm-hmm. you know, and then I'll switch to another game. I'm not all that big on the Red Zone.
Right. Well, every different strokes for different folks.
Exactly.
I get it. I like the scores. I like the, you know, we're still kind of in a what have you done for me lately type of, you know, instant gratification type of thing.
But for me, if there's a good game on, you know, if you know, the Niners are playing the Seahawks and it's a great game, it's a meaningful game, I want to watch the game and I don't want to be bouncing back and forth, you know, on Red Zone.
Sure. I get it. A good show today. We have John Gallis. He's the coach of the FC Tucson. They're going to be the first team out of the gate for Tucson representatives playing in pro. They play a game Friday or Saturday, I'm sorry. Quick question for you. I think many know you were the president of the Sugar Skulls. Season was to have started in mid-March. You were on the verge of starting.
Right, we were a week away.
And you were going to delay it. I think that they were going to delay it just a little bit before they just canceled it. Are you, jealous is not the right word, but are you, how do you feel? Because now FC Tucson had to delay for 4 months, but now that here they are. Could the Sugar Skulls have done something similar?
I didn't hear any conversations in that regard. What was on the league's mind was to get the season done before the NFL started.
Makes sense.
Now remember, at that time, nobody thought that there was going to be some doubt about that, you know,
sure.
When September rolled around. There was just an assumption that this was all going to be squared away. Mm-hmm. The NFL was going to start in September. So the Indoor Football League's plan was to be done with the season by the time the NFL started. They were going to push back as far as they had to.
Starting mid-March? Because they already started a game or two.
Well, there was a weekend of games already.
Right.
That had been, two games had been played, which was the first weekend, technically, of the season. The Sugar Skulls really were going to have had the first two weekends off, and then they were going to play.
To when? June? I think the playoffs ended.
The end of the season was the last weekend in June.
Which was extended from last year,
right,
correct?
Right, right. It was about 2 weeks later than last year, and then the playoffs were going to slip into July, and they were going to be done by the third week of July.
The only and that was not going to be possible because of, even
right.
Now we know it couldn't have been done. But I think best circumstances, you could have started in late May, go to early or mid July.
Right. When the league got canceled, when the season got canceled, they had gotten to the point where they were willing to start Memorial Day weekend and felt they could get enough of a season in to make it meaningful and get the playoffs done and get out of town. I shouldn't get out of town, but get done.
Right, right.
Before, right around the time college football was starting the last weekend of August. And
oh,
that
yes.
That was the goal.
That would have been maybe 10 games.
Right. That would have been 10. The goal. So that's what they felt that they were going to do. Then when it became apparent that there wasn't going to be any gatherings in any stadiums and, you know, playing games without fans was not an option. It just became, let's just hang on to everything and flip it over to next year.
Right, right. Which of course is the smart move because we didn't know what we know now.
Right. You know, we had to talk to sponsors and everybody was pretty much on board. There were a couple of, you know, like small sponsors, small business people whose, you know, the money was meaningful to them. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say it wasn't meaningful to anybody, but, you know, some of the larger sponsors, they just said, okay, just hang on to it. Let's just
we want to be part of you guys.
Right. Let's just skip a year. Hang on to our sponsorship money, and we'll, you know, let's just push it off till next
year.
Well,
here's hoping that they do come back because I think it was a hit the first year.
Yeah, I think there's every intention that they will. In fact, you know, I think there was a team, Columbus was going to join the league this year or the next year. And they weren't going to play the 2020 season. Now they're going to be part of the 2021 season. So they'll, you know, they're planning to be back. They're definitely coming back.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think we're going to try to take a break. I know that Thomas is around. There's a lot of things going on. I think we'll try to take a break, come back, talk to Coach Gallus here.
Sounds great.
Side. Yeah.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/best. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone we have FC Tucson's John Gallus, the head coach. How does that sound after being gone for so long?
I forgot how to coach.
I'm sure that's hardly
the
case.
By the way, I love the intro song, the Violent Femmes. That was my first CD. For those of you who know what a CD is, that was the first CD I ever bought.
1985-ish, 82-ish, when, what year? You're not that old.
Probably 86, freshman year in high school.
Okay, so, cool. Yeah, yeah.
God, for your freshman in high school in 1986.
That. Sure.
That upsets me, John, that you were a freshman in high school in 1986, okay?
Well,
upsets me, too. I got a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, so I'm quite upset.
How the heck are things going? March 12th was the last time I think we heard of FC Tucson. We were hoping to hear from you again, and guess what? You guys are going to be the first team out there locally at the pro level going out and doing some things.
We're doing some things, that's for sure. We're hopping on a flight tomorrow late morning, heading off to Fort Lauderdale and playing our season opener down in Fort Lauderdale against David Beckham's Miami FC reserve team, Fort Lauderdale CF. So we're back at it.
We joined before you came on the show. I asked Jay here, who the former president of the Sugar Skulls, could things have been changed or whatever in his time with there? And obviously they have a little time frame. You have a long schedule, so that benefits you.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we have a schedule now of 16 games for the rest of the season. Regularly it's 28. They've condensed it down to 16. And we have 8 home games at Keno and 8 games on the road. So we've still got, you know, a 16-game season, a lot to play for. So we're excited for the opportunity.
So when you guys, I mean, it was just sort of a waiting game. I mean, you knew all along that at some point you were still going to play this season. You know, the Sugar Skulls had to cancel their season. They're up against football and that type of stuff. Yeah. I mean, what kind of discussions did you hear? What were some of the considerations for you guys to go ahead and play the 2020 season in 2020?
Well, there was a lot of meetings, a lot of calls between ownership and the league and the board of governors for the league, and really taking a pause to evaluate exactly what we were dealing with here in terms of the virus and coming up with protocols that made sense for us to try to continue to have a season. And you know, that takes time, and full credit to Amanda Powers, our president, for being on all these hiatus task force committees and Board of Governors calls and really working with, you know, the invested parties to come up with a plan. And, you know, like I said, there's certain things in place to mitigate risk for us as we travel, and they came up with a condensed season that makes sense, and here we are. A lot of people put a lot of time and energy into coming up with this plan, and hopefully we can finish a 16-game season. You know, we're certainly aware of what's going on around the country and the world, and if at any moment this becomes even more unsafe, then they'll make the appropriate decisions.
Over the last month or so, I'm not too sure the date for sure, but soccer's been played at the highest levels as well. Does that give you some, not pause, but are you happy to see that and things are going okay?
Personally, I'm thrilled to see, you know, teams playing again. I'm a big Liverpool fan, and they hoisted their league title yesterday, finally, after 30-year wait, so I'm ecstatic. That said, you know, it's really nice to see the MLS back tournament down in Orlando. It's nice to see our USL Championship season underway as well, and their regional group play pods. And, you know, it's nice to have the opportunity to go out and compete again.
So as you get ready to play, I mean, look, you know, we can't help talking about this, but, you know, in terms of understanding all the protocols, you know, where was all the information coming from? Who were you guys working with? Were you working with the MLS? Were you working with anybody overseas with, you know, the leagues over there in terms of the things that need to be done to make sure that you can start a season and ultimately finish the season?
Right. The league itself was working and following protocols from CDC, you know, local and federal agencies, as well as U.S. Soccer Federation and FIFA. And one of the decisions that came up was to allow for 5 substitutions this year rather than 3, and that's for a variety of reasons. But adding an opportunity to bring in 2 extra players into a match for, you know, with such a long break in between our preseason and starting up again, is for safety concerns, the amount of travel we have. So they've taken all information from all relevant parties around, you know, the country and the world and put together protocols that make sense for us to return to play.
How has the roster changed since March, or has it? I think you did bring on a few more players since then.
We have. In fact, we've added 2 additional players, Jordan Hill, who played at Davidson College and was with Orlando City B in our league last year. He's been with us for a bit, and we recently signed him, as well as Tommy Silva, who's our first developmental academy youth signee, and he's on an amateur contract, which means it's a $0 contract. He can train and play with FC Tucson, as he's committed to play for the UCLA Bruins this fall. Mm-hmm. So we're monitoring his situation with UCLA if they play in the fall or in the spring, and then we'll ultimately release him to UCLA when that time comes. But both great additions to our squad, gives us depth and quality, which we'll need. We have a roster of 22 players as we speak, and we're going to need every single one of these guys.
So how do you manage the season any differently, you know, because it's a shorter season? You know, when you talk about baseball, you know, everybody talks about we got to get off to a good start because we don't have time to catch up if we don't. I mean, are you managing things differently, or is it just kind of all the same and it's just a shorter season?
Let me answer that on Saturday 9 p.m. That's our first game. But no, in all honesty, you know, The playoff format has changed in our league. The top 2 teams will compete in a final. It'll be 1-2. So there's points to play for every weekend. Every game is a cup final for us. We have to accumulate points as quickly and as often as we can. So that being said, you know, in soccer, over a regular season, say 28 game schedule, every team has a little dip. Most teams have a little dip in form, and you can be winless in 3 or 4 and then turn that around and win 5 in a row, and that's over a 9-game span. We don't have that luxury right now. You know, we have to go for points as often as we can. So our objective in Fort Lauderdale is to, at a minimum, come back with a point in the bag, and if we play well and execute the way I think we can, we should be able to collect 3 points, and we're off to a great start. But you know, 16 games is not a season that you can have lapses. So we're going into the season with every game being a cup final mentality.
I don't think you play your first home game till August 8th. So you fly to Florida tomorrow, and then I think you have a game in Tennessee. So do you come home and go back, or how is that working out with travel? Because that's a huge concern.
We will come back, absolutely. We'll come back Sunday morning. We actually, you know, we gain the 3 hours, we come back, we'll start our recovery process right away. We'll train Monday through Thursday, hop on a flight Friday, and play in Chattanooga, Tennessee on that following Saturday. There are a couple road trip games, I believe, later in the season, with a really, really short turnaround, multiple games in a week. So, for example, I think we fly to Madison. We'll actually play in Milwaukee. And then from Milwaukee, we'll head to Orlando and play 2 or 3 days later.
One of the questions. Oh, go ahead. Okay.
I was just going to say, logistically, it makes more sense for us to do that you know, then travel home and then all the way back out to the East Coast. So there's a couple of those moments where we have to take advantage of being a little bit closer to that market.
So unfortunately, you have two doctors in the house, Gonzalez and Rivera. We've been talking about COVID for the last 4 months. It seems like we know too much about it. But what's the testing going to be like for you guys? I think we talk about U of A and they're testing all the time and schools all the time. What's yours?
Well, we test once a week. And obviously that's sort of a moving target because we have to test at a certain day to get the results as it relates to us being able to get the results back and then travel, for example. And if there's a positive result, which we've been very fortunate, my guys have been unbelievable, and we have not had a single player test positive yet. And, you know, we have to be in a position to be able to pivot if we have a positive case, because it's not just that one player. It's the you know, obviously the players that live with that positive test are quarantined, so that affects the roster. So our testing cadence will fit our travel schedule, and our testing cadence obviously will fit our home schedule, where we get results back in time to make sure that we're eligible, and if we need to potentially shop for a loan, you know, get somebody down from Phoenix Rising or San Diego Loyal or any other club that we can to help us out if we're in a bad spot. We have that ability. But right now, guys are testing once a week, and as I said, they've been unbelievable in being extremely disciplined about just coming to training, following all the protocols, getting home, you know, putting their feet up, staying in their apartments, and not doing anything extra.
Well, that's right. That's where I wanted to go next. You know, what's the mental state of the players? I mean, I'm sure they're excited that the season is about to start, but you know, like a lot of us, you know, kind of it's been a long, long summer. You know, are they fired up? They're ready to go. They're, you know, I mean, where are their heads right now in terms of all of this, and then all the stuff that they're going to have to deal with throughout the season?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, I'd love to say that everybody's 100%, you know, focused and sharp and ready to go. But the reality is, you're absolutely right. They've been dealing with something that nobody's dealt with in this global pandemic before. They're probably been a little stir crazy, being wrapped up in their apartments. You know, playing and competing against ourselves for the last 3.5 weeks gets a little tiresome. So I think from a competitive standpoint, they're ready to go out and try to kick somebody else for a change, which is always rewarding as a coach. They're ready to go. But I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that I was concerned, you know, of their mental state, as we have to travel and we have to fly on commercial flights and you know, get out of market and deal with that. You know, I know that they're excited to play. I know that there's going to be some levels of anxiety for sure and high emotion come Saturday. But, you know, they've been really good. And we had a press conference today, and I had Niall Logue, our team captain, and Raheem Somersall, our club captain, on the call with us, with Amanda Powers and various local media. And I can tell that they're chomping at the bit to go out.
We got to go, Coach. Thanks a bunch. Okay. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks a bunch. Good luck Saturday.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10-3 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. Perfect song. We got to pick up the pieces. Got to pick up the pieces. And it looks like U of A is picking up some pieces, and we're moving along with maybe some hope.
You
saw Robin's thing?
Yeah, I think so. You know, they're going forward. And look, again, the U of A has done a really good job. And I think we can acknowledge that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the U of A is fortunate with the people that they have in place that are handling this. We've been saying that all along. But now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. We're talking about mm-hmm. students being on campus, what all that's going to entail, and what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, how are you going to handle this? You know, who's going to be responsible? And who's not going to be responsible?
Right. I think it's like 35,000, right? Maybe a year? 35,000 kids, students.
The student body is like 35 to 40. I think it's more like 40.
So he said today there could be about 20,000, which is half?
20,000 people on campus.
Right.
So I don't know if that includes, you know, staff and stuff like that. But, you know, if you're going to start putting that many people into a concentrated area, and it's a big area, but it's still, you know, 20,000 people, you know, there's certain things that people have to do, and they've got to take responsibility for themselves. And, you know, they said, look, if we find out that people are purposely violating the health and safety protocols that we have in place, we're going to suspend them.
Sure. Well, you
and
talked
that's
about,
a question that we've had for a while.
Yeah, you talked about that, I think, with Hiki a little yesterday, that what about the sororities and fraternities who, and you've seen some things online, we're just going to party.
Yeah.
Don't be a dumb. I was going to cuss here.
Go ahead.
Don't be a dumb butt.
It just bothers me that there's so many people out there who don't take this seriously.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, we're going to be in this mess for a long time.
140,000 plus people have died. This is real.
Yes.
No matter, I don't care what anybody says. This is real. And if you're going to come to the U of A and you're going to start throwing COVID parties, you know, just give me a baseball bat. Just give me a baseball bat and we'll go take care of some business. Because it just really bothers me that people are that cavalier about other people's lives.
True. I totally agree. This is not a easy thing, and it's a horrible time that we're living in.
So it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do. But, you know, Dr. Robbins and Dr. Carmona both said the same thing. It's kind of an honor system, and people have to take responsibility and just mm-hmm. realize, just do the right things for the good of everybody else.
So let's assume for a second that it does get clearance and we're able to see some games. We saw Wilner with a report here. First game, September 19th.
Right.
10 games.
10 games.
Get us to about mid-December if you're fortunate enough to win your league, win your side of the league. So you like that?
I liked what apparently the Pac-12 is doing. John Wilner is always Johnny on the spot, and he's got great sources, obviously, within the Pac-12. He put out a report today that next week the announcement is going to be a 10-game season, all conference games. You're not going to play your rival twice, which I like, and that the season would start about mid-September.
Right.
So the weekend of September 19th, they're going to build in some time to be able to reschedule games if needed, and they could push the Pac-12 championship game as far back as December 19th.
So we kind of know who they're going to be playing outside of maybe one school, right? If you have 12, you play excluding one more team, I think it is.
Well, it sounds like they're going to have to redo the whole schedule.
Sure.
I don't think you automatically assume that the 9 conference games you had on your schedule
are the same.
No, are going to be the same one.
I totally agree with that.
But you're going to play 10 teams. So you're going to play all but one team.
Right.
You're going to miss one.
Right. So knowing what you know, just because of what you know about the league, you had them winning 6 last, going 6-6.
Yeah.
Which we thought was kind of crazy. Do you still feel maybe, 10 games, 5-5?
No, I don't.
It's a tougher schedule now.
Because they're trading.
Right.
They're trading Hawaii, Portland State, and Texas Tech for another Pac-12 team. And whoever that team is,
right,
is better than all three of those teams.
Would you, in the world that we don't live in, where we have the three the non-conference games, would you rather do this, what they're going to do, play all conference games right away and go into it and see how good you are and where you stand in the conference, or do what we've done for ages?
No, I mean, I like the non-conference games because it gives you a chance to play somebody that, you know.
You can win.
Well, you do need a game, I think. Everybody needs a game that you can kind of, you know, get a little confidence, run some stuff that maybe you can't run against, you know. But I it's really kind of been disappointing over the last several years that they really haven't had great non-conference opponents. When we used to get, you know, Iowa on a regular basis, mm-hmm. had Ohio State come here, Who else? You know, LSU came here.
Sure.
You know, some of those teams in
Oklahoma
those
State.
Those games are fun, even when you lose them. They're fun games because they're meaningful games, and so I've always liked having those games.
Well, let me tell you, because you covered the games back in the day, the glory days, I like to call them, basketball.
Right.
When they played Duke.
When you had Duke.
They come in for the Fiesta Bowl Classic,
right.
And there were some great games, LSU, because I traveled to those games.
Right.
Now, not so much.
Not so much. And a lot of it is, you know, the teams don't want to go out on a limb and risk their RPI and whatever,
sure.
You know, and go,
sure.
They don't want to go play at Arizona. Arizona doesn't want to go play at Duke either. Let's be real.
Right.
You know, nobody wants to. They'll play these neutral court games and stuff like that, go up to Phoenix, over to LA,
mm-hmm.
wherever they go play games in New York or wherever. And those are fine, but, you know, I do miss, you know, having those games you know, in your arena.
Sure.
And great, go play them back the other way,
mm-hmm.
and do more of these home and homes. And you know, I'd like to see more pressure in that, but I feel the same way about football. You know, a steady diet of, and with all due respect, a steady diet of Texas Tech and Hawaii isn't doing it for me, you know, when I'm paying what I'm paying to go to a football game.
In fact, that's part of the reason I brought the subject over to basketball. People are paying a lot of money.
Right.
We could say they're paying a lot of money, and they're not getting any bang for their buck.
Well, you can only play Gonzaga so many times, right?
Right.
You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
that you know, when Gonzaga is the top game, the top home game every year,
mm-hmm.
I think there's something wrong with their schedule. Well, with all due respect to Gonzaga, they're a top program, been to a Final Four, but you want to see Michigan. You want to see Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see Kentucky. You want to see North Carolina. And those guys have been here in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we got to see those guys, and that you don't see them anymore, I think, is unfortunate. And I don't want to drive up to Phoenix to watch, you know, I want North Carolina to come here and have to play in the McHale environment, and Arizona should, you know,
go back
and play over there.
Well, you know, Lou did that all the time.
Yeah.
Did that for all the time.
So I don't know. And again, the basketball's changed and all that stuff in terms of scheduling stuff. And all people are trying to do is let's get through the regular season and get to the tournament.
Well, right. Any more on this? So 10 games in conference.
But 10 games, all conference games. I like it.
I
know some of the other leagues, like the SEC really makes me mad that they refuse to play more conference games. They play eight conference games. They got, 14 teams in their league. There are teams that they don't play for years, but they get a free one every year. And instead of saying, in this situation, we're going to play another conference game, they're saying, no, we're going to play eight and two non-conference games.
Yeah.
Which, come on, guys. I wish the NCAA could step in. I know they're powerless in this, but I really do wish the NCAA could step in and say, you want to go to a bowl game? You want to get
prove
in the college
it,
football
yeah.
playoff? You play nine conference games.
Yeah.
No matter what. You know, that's okay with the Big 12 because they got 10 teams. You want to play you want to qualify for the college football playoff, you're playing nine conference games minimum.
I'm curious. I know they can't probably have fans or half the fans or whatever. I think the one group of people that are happy with this are the people who have tickets to possibly go to see a game. The season ticket holders. They're going to get a better schedule to see.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, now, you know, we got, you know, Portland State's gone, Hawaii's gone, you know, Texas Tech was on the road, so we're trading those two games for another Pac-12 game.
Right.
And again, well, I got to see the schedule before I come up with my number, this is going to be fun. If they play this 10-game schedule, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I do, too. You'll really get a sense of how good they are in the conference.
And it's going to be a real race. It's going to be a real race. You only miss one team, and that makes it a little uneven. You know, Arizona plays USC every year and plays Stanford, but, you know, who were they going to miss? They were going to miss Cal and
Washington State.
Washington State.
I think so.
I'd rather get Washington State.
Sure, especially now.
Than Cal.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's going to make it more interesting. This is going to be a white knuckler from week number one.
Sure. No, you talked about that with Gallus. You have to come out of the gate right away.
You can't mess around.
Yeah.
You can't mess around. And you know what? We all know, and it's been like this for a really long time in this league, nobody's a gimme.
Right.
Nobody's a gimme. Right. Not that, you know, and I think there's a lot of people out there who think Arizona's the gimme. Arizona's not a gimme for anybody. Let's not forget that, what, it was 2 years ago, you know, Oregon came in here and got crushed mm-hmm. by a not very good Arizona team, right? Mm-hmm. And so, look, there are no gimmies in the Pac-12. And so every game is going to be, you got to get out there and you got to get it right or you're just going to get crushed. And Oregon State will beat the hell out of you. You know, Washington State will crush you. Colorado will crush you.
Well, you say that.
They can. They can. I'd like to think that Arizona can win those games, but mm-hmm. if you don't go out there and play, you're going to get beat.
Yeah. Saturday.
Every week. You know, USC could come here and
lay an egg.
We've seen it happen.
Yeah.
We've seen it
a number of times.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this, at least how I look at things. One of the hidden things that people don't look at are emotions for kids. If you're not up to play the game, you're going to get your head handed to you.
Right. And again, you're dealing with teenagers for the most part. Yeah. Again, I always go back to what Dick Tomey said to me one time. He said, I think people who bet on college football are absolutely nuts. Because you're betting on kids that you just don't know from 1 week to the next what they're going to do or where their heads are going to be.
Emotions are a huge factor.
You know, the quarterback's girlfriend may be giving him some problems.
Yeah.
And he's going to go out there and he's going to lay one down and now you're going to lose.
Yeah. No. People don't talk about that stuff, but it's very, very true. Very true. It's funny how the gamblers say, well, you shouldn't be gambling, but oh, this guy's hurt or whatever. Sometimes it's the guy that's not hurt. It's the guy who's not mentally ready to play.
That's right. Right.
And that's the thing that people don't know until
the
daytime.
Those are the ones that are scary.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are scary.
Let's take our break here and come back on the other side, talk more basketball and football.
Being named the 2020 El Tour de Tucson dedication recipient was such an honor. I have been a part of El Tour in the past, and I know about some of these amazing names that have been dedication recipients in the past, but it was an honor to be chosen for that, not only for me, but for my organization that supports people with disabilities.
I've met so many people through the riding and through El Tour that are now some of my closest and dearest friends.
One of the things that makes El Tour, you know, so safe and so well ran is all the law enforcement that gets involved blocking up the roads. My favorite part of the course on the newer course was the backside of Pistol Hill.
I think what's amazing about El Tour is there's something for everyone's ability level. It includes the opportunity to be out there. You can even do a 1 miler. You can do something at home if you're limited to being indoors. That's what's great about it is all abilities are encouraged. It's very inclusive.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. You're 11 minutes away from the pitch in LA.
Yeah, you know, getting ready to go in Dodger Stadium. Got to get out of here and get my radio on and listen to it on the way home and then just watch it. You know, we got a rain delay in the...
You think they're going to finish that game? What inning were they in?
They were in the sixth.
So that's a complete... That's a game if
they can't play. And it was raining hard a minute ago.
Yeah.
And they just showed the tarp is still on the field. But it's not going to be raining in Dodger Stadium, that's for sure.
No, it never rains in Southern California.
You know what, guys? I gotta bring this up because it's something that I feel strongly about is that no matter, there's all these great baseball stadiums and stadiums that have been built recently with all the bells and whistles and stuff, but I know I'm biased, but I just don't think that there's a better baseball stadium than Dodger Stadium
because
it's just it because it's One, it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. But it's, you know, it's 50, 60 years old. And I was there last summer and you thought it was built 10 years ago, mm-hmm. 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just the majesty of it. And if you've never been there, when you get to Dodger Stadium and you pull into the parking lot, because it sits on Chavez Ravine. It sits on a mountain,
mm-hmm.
and the entire place is the parking lot is around it. So it just sits up there by itself. It's not in the middle of a city or anything like that. And when you come in to park, you come in and you're facing the stadium. So you come in on the outfield side and you're looking into the stadium, mm-hmm. when you see it. And it's just, I can't think of a better word than majestic. It's just so huge. It's huge. It's tall. It's colorful. And the setting is just unbelievable.
Thomas, you have some Kleenex back there?
he's getting a little weepy, isn't he? Getting a little weepy.
Holy moly. This is brought to you by the Jake Gonzalez.
I was about 6 years old the first time I ever went there. And, you know, every time I walk in there, the place looks brand new.
Yeah, I've never been there. I've been to the Anaheim Stadium a few times. My dad took me there when I was younger. Saw Nolan Ryan pitch and Frank Tanana pitch, but never to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, you know, I've been to Camden Yards. I went to Camden Yards several years ago. Well, a lot of years ago. It was still a relatively new stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been to some others. Obviously,
sure,
the stadium up in Phoenix. I've been to the Angel Stadium. I've been to San Diego Petco Park.
Yeah,
beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful. I just don't feel like it's got the character that a place like Dodger Stadium
has. No, the history. In 87, I was covering the Rangers, Texas Rangers, in their old stadium. They just built a new one, and now they built a newer one.
Right.
It's weird. They just built it. Why are you building another one? It's funny because the Diamondback Stadium, so much controversy over that. They don't want to be there. It was just built.
These stadiums that have been built in our lifetime, and then they want to knock them down already. It drives me crazy. I mean, stadiums should last longer than that.
You think, especially the one downtown. I mean, come on, they did it just a little before 97-ish, I think, it's 23 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, my house is older than that stadium, right? And they want to knock down the dang stadium? Come on, guys.
It just
drives me crazy. But, I went to the Astrodome, back in the day.
It was about
the second or third year it was open. Again, I was, very young. And that was the coolest thing ever, because that indoor baseball was
what year was that?
1966.
66, because the Bad News Bears went in 1975.
Yeah.
Remember that's where their destination was?
But, I got to see Sandy Koufax throw both in Dodger Stadium, and then he threw the night that we saw the Astros and the Dodgers in the Astrodome.
Yeah. My most famous was Chicago. I was in Chicago for the game when the Phoenix Suns were playing the Bulls in 83. So the guys, your guys, Bob Young and all this,
right.
We went to see the Cubs. To me, it was nice. It was quaint because it's the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
But it was nothing, special.
Yeah.
I'm not waxing poetic over it because it was an old stadium to me.
Yeah. But see, I want to go to Fenway Park.
Yeah, see, Anthony,
I do want to go to Fenway
loves
Park.
That, so.
I do want to see that one. That's sort of a bucket list type of thing. But again, looking at the program is starting with the Dodger game, and it's just...
Who's singing? Who's singing tonight?
I don't know.
It's probably somebody famous.
Not showing, yeah.
Who's throwing the first pitch?
I don't know that either.
No? It's not Dr. Fauci going back and forth?
Yeah. I didn't even get to see him throw the pitch. I don't know if he threw a good one or not, but, they've got the creepy cutouts behind home plate. In fact, they've got two of the same person. I don't know how they did that, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I don't think Dr. Fauci threw a spitball.
So I don't know, but again, looking forward to this, and let's play some baseball. Let's see how it goes, it's finally here. Let's just have a little bit of fun.
So, Thomas, what's your favorite stadium, and are the Toronto Blue Jays going to play in your hometown?
No, they're probably not. They've had ample chance to play in Buffalo. I don't think they are. They tried to go to Pittsburgh, and they got kicked out of Pittsburgh. They have nowhere to go.
I heard that they got the okay from the Orioles to play at Camden. they're waiting to hear from the governor of Maryland if that's okay.
Well, that's what shot him down in Pittsburgh. Their former GM is the GM in Pittsburgh, and he said fine, and then the state of Pennsylvania said no.
Huh.
So they're a team without a home.
So all their home games will be on the road.
It could be. That's one of the scenarios they're looking at.
That's one of the scenarios, yeah.
Yeah. So I have now, because places keep building parks, I'm now back up to 11 parks left to go to in my major league. I was in single digits a couple of years ago, but then the Braves and the Rangers decided to build new stadiums. So out of everything I've seen, see, this is the thing. It's actually easier for me to tell you parks I don't like than it is to tell you parks that I do like, because I like a lot of different parks for a lot of different reasons. So I like, going to San Francisco as much as I like going to Dodger Stadium. Fenway is completely different from Wrigley, but they're both beautiful old ballparks. PNC is amazing, speaking of Pittsburgh. There's a lot of really, really nice ballparks out there. You know what's weird, though, is I am not as taken with Petco Park as everybody else was. Everybody's like, it's beautiful. I'm like, I don't know. It was generic to me. I wasn't that excited by Petco.
Well, the structure of it and the cleanliness of it and all that stuff was what I liked about it. I mean, but again, it was kind of like, okay, this is a baseball game. I didn't have the same emotional attachment to it or feeling that, I get when I go to Dodger Stadium. And I was away from Dodger Stadium for a long time because I was part of the deal with the Diamondbacks and stuff like that. But when I went back a few years ago and went back with my son I had taken him there when he was, I think, 4 or 5 years old, I got tears in my eyes. I really did, because it just took me back to, my childhood and realizing that for the most part, it looked the same, but it still was, clean and all that stuff.
And you know what? If they ever replace it, it won't be the same. You guys ever been to Yankee Stadium?
No.
So I've been to both old Yankee Stadium.
I went to the old one.
And the new one. The new one to me feels like a mall.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. It's generic. And there are people like, oh, it's great. It really replicated. And I'm like, it's not the same.
Yeah. And it
would be the same if they ever did that with Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Well, I really started to kind of lose my feel for the Dodgers way back when, after the O'Malley's sold it, and I can't remember who Rupert Murdoch, bought it, and he immediately started talking about knocking down Dodger Stadium, and I'm like, you knock it down,
you're done.
We're done.
Mm-hmm.
We are over. And new ownership came in, and they've really just latched onto the whole history of the Dodgers again and Dodger Stadium. And knocking it down, they've really spruced it up. We sat in the left field pavilion. I hadn't sat in the left field pavilion in 100 years, and that was so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why cool. would you want to do that? Come in and kind of wipe out the past.
Yeah, because you're just dumb.
Yeah.
You're just
well, they
dumb.
Didn't do it, right?
And they didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
Nope.
So
sometimes people come in with their money and they want to put their quote-unquote stamp on things.
Well, get ready for the day that McHale Center becomes not McHale Center. It's, Bank of America Center or something like that.
Well, they might have to sell out because of money.
If all this financially is a big problem, I wouldn't be surprised if they were to do that. And the same with Arizona Stadium. I know they did try to sell the naming rights to Arizona Stadium some time ago, but there may come a time when you just need to do that.
That would be weird, but appropriate for this moment, maybe for a 2-3 year stretch. But once you open the Pandora's
box, you're
box,
never going back.
Yes,
exactly.
I know you would. I just thought that you're going to buy that sweater. You're going to keep that sweater. There's no question.
But I'm a purist on all this stuff. I tend to feel strongly about the history of these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But you know what? My kid doesn't give one squat about any of that.
No, because they don't have it. I mean, since the players were, even now, that's why I'm not a sports fan, because players go everywhere now. You can't have a loyalty to
right.
a team.
Yeah, Mookie Betts, man. Mookie Betts, grew up in the Boston system, and he's
the
richest
Dodgers.
Player in the major leagues, while playing for the Dodgers, and just signed a long contract with them. Talking about that, I mean, the time that stung me the most was when Mike Piazza got traded. Yeah. That one hurt.
That was like 20 years ago,
yeah.
wasn't
well,
it?
Yeah, it was
15 years ago. Yeah, it was a long time.
That one hurt.
No. I get it. You do fantasy sports. I can't do that because I can't have loyalty to this guy when he's playing against me.
I'd rather have loyalty to a team.
Yeah, right.
You're absolutely right.
Good show today.
It was fun. It was fun. Good luck to FC Tucson on their season. I hope it goes well for them. And, we'll be back again tomorrow.
Yeah. We don't know what we're going to have. We might do a lot of things. But get some calls, maybe.
Yep.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.